You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Real Time. Real time is the actual time during which a process or event occurs. Happening now, live, right now, the things going on right now. So here's the interesting thing about messages going out, podcasts, radio, whatever it is. You're hearing this live right now, but someone else is hearing it in their real time, different day of the week, different time of the day. And what I've observed about people through the years is that if you're in a gathering like this, you've managed to get your together enough to show up at church for this gathering. And you may have barely made it. You wish you'd come in two cars. Because when I was growing up, man, if you wanted to get the fights, it was on the way to church. That was the game on, baby. Something was going to happen. Stress, hair, just waiting on somebody. Not saying who, just waiting on somebody, right? And so somehow, though, we get our stuff together, we show up, we sit down, we say hello to our friends. How are you? Great. How was your week? Good. Ask again, kind of. But then you really don't have time, right? You don't have real time to get into it. And so you kind of hold it together. And maybe if someone asks you what third time, you end off somewhere and you talk a minute, but then, we got to go. And life just keeps coming, and there's really not time to have problems until you get away from the people that care about you. And then you take a deep breath and, I survived that, and go back to whatever you're doing, whatever that is, in real time. Go to Psalm 13, Psalm chapter 13. Now you say, well, you're talking about real time, so what does that mean? I'll read you some verses about this. Psalm 13, verse 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart, daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? So this is the writer saying daily, every day, sorrow, sorrow, sorrow. You go to sleep at night and you pray, you wake up and joy is there. And the next day, sorrow. Psalm chapter 38, and I'm just skipping a rock through the scriptures here to give you a sampling. I mean, the Old Testament is filled with day after day challenges. Some things brought on people by themselves, some things allowed by God. Psalm 38:17, for I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. Now go to Psalm 68. A little bit of encouragement we'll insert here. Verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation, Selah. Daily loads us with benefits. You say, well, how are you going to reconcile sorrow, tragedy, pain, heartache, and daily loads us with benefits? You're still breathing. That's a benefit. You got food to eat. The Bible promises food and clothing. You got food and clothing, benefits. You sign up with Jesus, part of the benefits, food and clothing. You say, well, I want more. I'd learn to be content with food and clothing and move out from there. Because then you have something to thank him for, basic stuff. When you don't thank him for basic stuff, you shift to complaining him for extreme things you don't have and why it's not fair that someone else has something you don't have. Thank him for basic stuff, and if he blesses you with more, you go, wow, this is incredible. Look at this. Okay? So can you have sorrow and yet at the same time God be taking care of you? Yes. I've shared this before, and I think this is universal, I hope. No matter how much trouble your kids get in, you still feed them. They have a place to sleep. They may be mad at you, they may hate you, but you still provide certain benefits that come with being in a family, even when there's tension and problems, and you try to move forward. Psalm 88, verse 9, and I understand that these are extreme verses, but some people are in extreme situations. My eye wastes away because of affliction, Lord. I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you. So literally, my eye wastes away because of affliction. Now go to Mark chapter 3. Now there are simple things in Scripture that if you miss, sometimes you literally miss the entire thing by getting so specific on little things that you don't get the big picture. And I'm about to read you a simple, very big picture verse. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. And this is talking about Jesus. And he went up to the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. So if you go back and read the other Gospels, he'd go down the beach, follow me, they'd follow him. So now he's got his whole crew together, the 12, including Judas Iscariot. And so he's got his 12, all right? So he goes up into a mountain, they all come to him. Then he appointed the 12, and in the appointing of the 12, what is the first thing that he appoints them to do? Look at this phrase. That they might be with him. That's where it all started. You say, well, yeah, but he was teaching them with him. He showed them how to do miracles with him. And our world has gone totally nuts in trying to keep away from each other. You are not going to get close to anyone, including God, apart from real time. God makes the universe. As far as we know, picks one planet to put people on, puts people on it. They screw up, they sin. He's got a problem he knew he was going to have. Before the foundation of the world, we're going to send Jesus in to fix this problem. So Jesus comes in to fix the problem. Born of a virgin, lives 30 years with almost not a bleep about him. Spikes at 12, he did this and, you know, go to the temple and then nothing. He's just down here. And then at 30, the ministry kicks in and God himself has prepared for 30 years, for 3 years, for 3 days, and then go back. And he picks 12 men to spend 3 years with. You have to be a lunatic if that's your plan. You are risking the entire proposition, not the salvation piece, but the discipleship piece. You are going to set an example that it's about a little bit more than two handfuls of men. One of them is going to commit suicide, going to betray you. But you're going to give these 11 guys everything you've got. And then you're going to die. And then you're going to say, I'm out of here. You know what to do. Go into all the world and do it. And they knew what to do. A huge reason why they knew what to do and why they were equipped is they had been with Jesus. If your life is not working the way you see people's lives working in the scripture, then there's a reason probably. And one of the main reasons is you're probably not spending much time with Jesus. What did he say? My sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. Do you know his voice? And is there nothing like hearing his voice? So he appointed them that they might be with him and that he might send them out. You're not going to get sent out without being with Jesus. It's not going to happen. And to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons. And he goes on and talks about what they did. And that's what they did. I got up and there's certain things about my house, my furniture, that really nobody in the world knows but me and my redhead. And for a long time on our four-poster bed, there was a piece on the rear right wheel, I guess, if you put it on the bed, on the post that if you bumped it, it would wobble and fall off. And nobody in the world, maybe my girls, but if someone had kidnapped Rebecca, and I said, well, ask her, you know, certain questions. There are things that only she knows and that only I know, right? Because it's my house. It's my relationship. I've spent time with this woman. What do you know about Jesus that no one could know unless they had spent time with him? What's his favorite song? You say, well, how would I know that? It's the one he gets you to sing to him the most. You say, well, you're silly. That doesn't happen. Ever try to get your kids to sing something to you? Sing that song. Because there's nothing like hearing them sing that song. If you're not talking to him, if you're not singing to him, if you're not listening to him, if you're not obeying him when you listen to him, probably not a very good relationship. Because if you're with him, he's going to send you out and you're going to change the world. Luke 10, this happens to be two women. You may know the story. I don't care if you know the story. You got to know what the story is about. Luke 10, now it happened, verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. It's all good. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So who gets him in the house? Martha. Who ends up at his feet? Mary. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Now, what could possibly be wrong with serving? If you're serving without sitting, you're going to get in trouble without sitting at his feet. Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, and I can't wait to actually see the movies in heaven of these things. Like, how did she say this? Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Like, dude, this isn't fair. I'm in here working. Tell her to come help me. How many kids have said that to their parents? Mom, I'm in here. Like, tell them to come help. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. Yeah, you don't want to get your name said twice. Usually in the Bible, that's not a great thing. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Is that you? But one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Nothing beats spending time with Jesus. There's nothing. Now you say, well, but if you just sat on your butt at Jesus' feet your whole life, you wouldn't get anything done. You would get done what he sends you out to do after you've been with him. Preach. Instead of just winging it, shotgun shot at whatever, hoping you hit something. You're so worried, so cranked up, I got to do something for God. What if God doesn't want you doing all this stuff you're doing for God? What if he has one specific thing you're supposed to be doing, but there's no way you can know that because you won't stop long enough to hear him and do that thing? Well, but other people are doing more. You got to stop competing with other people who've completely lost their minds. I am more concerned, and what I look for in people is, do you know him? Because if you know him, he's going to call you to do something, and then he's going to propel that. I'm not going to have to talk you into it and keep talking to keep you to do it. But people that are nuts, religious people, just go, 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 go. They don't have time to spend with Jesus. They're too busy serving him. And you don't see Jesus running around like a chicken with his head cut off trying to save the world. So go to Acts chapter 4. So here's another interesting little thing that happens. This is after Jesus has died on the cross, been buried, raised from the dead. He's out of here. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now look at verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, how can you be bold and confident when you're ignorant? They marveled, and the last phrase is what? And they realized that they had what? Been with Jesus. That's the explanation they had. So someone meets you, and you're not so smart, or you're not so intelligent, or you're not so educated, or you're not so whatever you've used as an excuse not to let God use you, but you have spent time with Jesus, and you have a boldness and a confidence in your relationship with him. And when you go out in the world, you may not know what everybody else knows, but you know him, and you know he knows you, and you love people, care about people, and you speak as one having authority, and when you open your mouth, their only explanation is, the guy's been with Jesus. Or you can't be this person. I've met lots of theologians, lots of people, impressive. They can rattle off all the names of whoever and say them right in Hebrew. You know what? I don't care. I want to know if you've been with Jesus. I want to be around people who know him because that's what I need. I need to be around people that show me how to get closer to him and not call him Mr. Christ for the rest of my life. If you're not on a first name basis with Jesus, something ain't working. Okay, one more. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So I'm going to read this just kind of as a give you a picture of what kind of this is talking about and maybe how you're feeling. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is, look at this verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. So darkness, and he says, let there be light, and kaboom, light overtakes the darkness. The God who commanded light to shine in the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So in the same way, there's darkness over the face of the deep, and he says, let there be light. There's light spiritually. You live in darkness, and he says, let there be light. And then things, you start seeing things you never saw before, and it's clear, and you understand, and you go, that's it. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So why would God house himself in a clay pot like this? Why would he risk himself being housed in me, knowing that I have capacity for cracking, for spilling, for leakage, for making a mess? The reason, he says, is we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power might be of God and not of us. So you say, well, I'm not a very fancy place for God to pick to live, because he's not interested in you being fancy. He wants them to see him, not you primarily. Yes, you are the vehicle, you're the vessel, but it's not about you. Keep reading. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We do not lose heart because you're being renewed by day. So if I follow you around all week in real time, you say, I'm getting pummeled. I'm getting perplexed. I'm getting shot at, knocked down. All these things are happening throughout my week. What do? You realize that's part of the deal. In this world, you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, he said. And you say, I also know, God, that though I've got all this coming at me, it also says I'm being renewed day by day. So the outward man is perishing. I'm getting hit. I'm getting shot at, but I'm not going to lose heart because I know you're up to something. When you meet those people, you know you've met that person, because these are not people who don't have challenges, don't have problems, don't have circumstances. These are people who figure out how to ride the same wave that'll kill you. You say, well, I don't want to do this. I don't want to know him the way that you know him or claim to know him or even want to know him. I don't want to live this way. I'm going to be bitter, angry, cruel. I'm a Christian, but that's it. Oh, this is sounding better by the moment. I'm not sharing my faith with anybody. I'm shutting down. I'm mad at God. Oh, we're going to reach a lot of people with you on the end of our hook. You say, well, he loves me anyway, right? Yeah. But let me tell you something about your little life. He's coming after you because he finishes what he starts. You say, well, he can't make me do anything. But as Claude used to tell me, he can make you wish you had. Here's where this pays off. I'm going to die one day.
or he's coming back. And I am his son, I am his child, and I will finally be face to face with a friend or an acquaintance. And I'd like it to be a friend. I'd like it not to be awkward. I'd like to grab him like I do you and hold him close and say, I've missed you. I've waited a long time for today. And I'm so glad to see you. And I know you're glad to see me because I know you love me and you care about me and you took such great care of me. And I can't believe I'm going to get to spend eternity with you. That sounds a whole lot better than, how are you, sir? We met back in, you know, in college or something, and I know we haven't talked in a long time, but I appreciate you letting me in, and hopefully we can spend some time while we're here. Right? And you say, well, I'm going to get in that way. It's going to be okay. It doesn't have to be okay anymore. Why not make it great? Last Sunday, where's Luke? Luke brought a couple of his buddies that he's known since fifth grade or whatever it was, some way back, brought them to church. So they're coming out the door. I'm at the door, and I'd met them during the meet and greet. And Luke's standing there, a couple other guys. And I asked these two young men, I said, so this makes sense? Yeah. Did you guys grow up with this? One of them said, kind of, I think. The other one said, nothing, not really. Didn't grow up with this. And in a matter of 3 minutes, so if you guys died, what would happen? Out there in the lobby. Not sure, sir. And I said, if I told you you could be sure, would you be interested in that? Yes, sir. Shared the gospel with them. And the six of us, whatever it was, huddled up in the lobby. And two young men became Christians. Right? Their whole lives are changed. But what's got to happen next? They got to be with some people. They're not going to make it. They're going to be with somebody because that's just how life works. Who are they going to be with? Who are they going to spend real time with and get real in that real time? And figure out how to move forward and not run into these things that we know are out there. I drive certain roads every day like you do, and I can tell you there are certain roads where I know where the potholes are. Does someone know what I'm talking about? You know you're not going to hit that hole again because you almost took the front end off your car when you hit it the first time. So if I told you, hey, when you're coming to my house, but be careful, right hand by the curb, massive hole, they haven't repaired it, go around that. I know where the holes are. Oh, well, they're going to have to learn it by themselves. Nobody helped me. That's cruelty. Spend time with somebody. You say, well, forget me spending time with somebody. Why didn't somebody spend time with me? Find someone. You've got a church full of people that are equipped, trained, willing to spend time with you. And you spend time with him. We spend time with each other. And all of a sudden, he sends us out. Miraculous things start to happen. You've got boldness. Your life changes. The world changes. You go, wow. I'm so glad I didn't waste my whole life chasing a bunch of stuff that wasn't going to work anyway and just creating more problems.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Just listen to this one. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Real time, every day, all along the way, and it takes real time in real time and some real time to share real struggles and help people move it forward. There's a couple seated to my left. I don't want to embarrass them anyway, but they're like right over there. And they showed up a while back, a mess. I met with them one time, a mess. I met with them after a week or two or whatever, and I didn't think it was the same couple. You know why? Because they got advice. They're hearing him. They're being doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. They're applying it. Their lives individually have changed, and their relationship has changed. And they look different. And they come see me and think I'm encouraging them. I'm crazy encouraged by them because it works. And He works and wants to not just live in you, but live through you and work through you.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.